So before we read the gospel today, I'm going to ask that we do something a little different and ask that we join together in singing the first verse of Joy to the World. If you want it from the hymnal, it's hymn number 267. And I'll try not to start you too high.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing.
Hold that with you while I read the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I would like to invite the children to come forward. Morning. Did you sing Joy to the World with us? Wasn't it beautiful? Yeah, people here can sing in harmony, a cappella. It's pretty cool, huh? But when do we usually sing Joy to the World? Yeah, at Christmas. Is it Christmas yet?
No.
No. You're right. Thanksgiving is first, isn't it? Sophia, how many sleeps though? 43? 42 sleeps till Christmas? Okay. That's on our chalkboard at home. So I broke a rule. We sang Joy to the World before Christmas. But do you know what? That song, that hymn, was written by a man named Isaac Watts. And he did not write it about Jesus being born. He wrote that song about Jesus coming again, about the future. And so that's part of why I wanted to sing it today. Because then did you hear the Bible story? A little confusing, yeah. And Jesus is talking to people who are worried and they are scared about what their life is like right now. And they're also kind of distracted by those worries and those fears. Do you ever get distracted to things like, no, never? Okay. That's awesome. You're lucky, Crates family. Or do you ever have worries? Yeah, what are some things you might worry about? Does anybody worry about school? sometimes. Worry about the weather ever? Like, or do storms kind of make you worry? It makes my dog worry a lot. When I was your age, I was a little sometimes worried about being alone in the dark. Although my husband would tell you I'm still worried about that, so maybe it hasn't gone away. So there are things that we might worry about. And Jesus in this story is trying to say, do not be afraid. And remember that these things that distract you or make you feel this way, that God is here. And that the promise is that God loves the whole world. And God will keep on bringing that joy into the whole world. And so we have this prayer tree. So I'd like you to take, will you help pass those around? To take a leaf today that you can write a prayer, you can write something you're worried about or a person you want to pray for or something you're thankful for. And then at Sacred Space Time, you can come tape that up to our tree. Or if you'd rather keep it with you, you're welcome to do that. So can we pray together? Loving God, thank you for promising to be with us in our worries. Help us remember your love and joy. Amen. All right. Thank you. You may go back to your seats. You might have to take those shoes for her. So, singing Joy to the World, that is something, it is a song that was based on Psalm 98 that we read together today. And I wanted us to sing that before we read our gospel, because I'm aware that some of what our gospel says might kind of start to spiral us down into worry, or might spark our imaginations into some kind of despair. And so that was best to first remind ourselves that God is incarnate. You know, that's what we say at Christmas. God is with us. And God is with us today and yesterday, and God will be with us tomorrow as well. When Pastor Michael and I read the text together for this week, post-election, we're reading it, and at the end he says, "It's perfect." At the same time, I said, "It's horrifying." I do not want to talk about that text. And I said that it's horrifying because I know that whether you are satisfied with the election results or whether you are not and are concerned, you are probably exhausted either way. And when maybe I've heard a lot of like, I just need to sit down for a minute. Because not just the last week was exhausting, but the whole election cycle this time seemed particularly exhausting. And I know this because of heartfelt conversations that I have had with many of you throughout the week. I know this because I've seen tears on both sides of the politics, and because all of this paying attention to the news and the Facebook feeds and the thoughts and the emotions of those around us and ourselves lets me know that this scripture has a potential to stir up anxieties. It has this potential to even create paranoia, like looking for signs of the end of time. And it also reflects real feelings, and it reflects a reality of feelings in that time. It reflects a reality of division in our nation and possibly in friendships and communities and in families. And this is not where I want you to sit and dwell, at least not right at this moment. One woman who came to church for Bible study on Thursday said she'd just gotten off the phone with a friend and they had been talking politics, and she said, "Okay, it's time for me to go. I just need to go to church because I just need some peace for a little while." And that is so desperately what we want to offer. I would have much preferred that the reading for today was the one that was posted on Election Day to our Bible in the Year group. It was from Romans 12, so I'm going to read it anyway. "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless you. Bless them and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. And if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with one another. Paul's letters to the Romans and to all the communities that he wrote to are huge reminders about how to live in community, even in the middle of disagreement, in the middle of division, and in the middle of uncertainty, that we are community together through Christ. That our common ground isn't based on our gender, it's not based on our race, it's not based on our sexual identity, it's not based on our political party. It is based on our faith and on the promises of God and on the message that Christ gives us. Which is also why that the reading from Luke today is actually perfect too. See, the people that Luke was writing to, they had just experienced the temple, this building, this majestic building a foundation of their faith. They have just experienced be destroyed and gone to rubble. And so they were living at a time when there was real persecution for their faith. There was real division in their families, in their friendships, in their communities and government. And while we in our popular culture have been trained to hear this scripture as like a prediction of what's coming or something about the end times, it was really about this mess that they were looking at and this rubble that they had, and how were they going to start picking it up? Which piece would they begin with? How would they put it back together? Apocalyptic passages like this one, they were about helping believers put things in perspective. They were reminders of what God's promises were and how God interacted and took action in the world, and that God would remain, that they were not abandoned, and that God would prevail. This is encouragement to live in the meantime, to witness, to faith, to Jesus as the one revealed as God in the present. So Luke is using this memory of Jesus preaching to help remind us of our communities, of our commitment to faith community, and a renewal of keeping our eyes on the promises and the witness of Jesus for our world today. See, this election, it didn't create division. It certainly revealed it, and it even heightened it. The fear on all sides is real. And the call to witness to Christ on all sides is one that we as people of faith can embrace together. See, Jesus stands right there in any kind of rubble, and he stands in all of it. And he stands there and he points us toward one another. He points us towards love. He points us towards justice. He points us towards our neighbor, the one who is sitting right next to you right now, and the one who maybe isn't here, the immigrant, the refugee, the person of color who feels persecuted, a member of the LGBTQ community, those of different religions, those whose economic realities are overwhelming to them, and those who control or govern our economics, those who are powerless and those who are powerful. They are all the neighbor. They are all children of God. And Jesus calls us together to pick up the rubble and put it back together in the name of grace and mercy and love. And see, Jesus doesn't just stand in the middle. Jesus actually sits. You know, when he taught, often he was sitting eyeball to eyeball with the people. And he would sit and break bread with the people. And in his day, that meant sitting with the poor. It meant sitting with the widow. It meant sitting with the Samaritan and the tax collector. And in our day, it means Jesus sitting with us as well. And us breaking bread together and embracing those who are persecuted, marginalized, and afraid, and wrapping them up in God's big love and God's big promises. And we do this together, and we even have a way that we come regularly every week around a table, around this table, that offers us the bread and the wine of life, that offers us forgiveness and the promise of salvation. And we witness at this table together, knowing that because even though we're imperfect, that we are still called. And even though we are broken, we are loved. And even though we may not and will not get it right all of the time, that we are held in God's grace. So we move forward by knowing that we truly are better together, that the commitments that we make to one another, the big commitments like a campaign and the small commitments of how we relate to one another and the huge commitment of being a place that claims Christ as center in this community. I want to read to you a few words from Bishop Jim Gonya. He's the bishop of our Rocky Mountain Synod. He wrote this week. It is important to remember that we in the church are people of hope. Hope is ours because of a living word of unfailing love that breaks into our lives. Hope is ours because of the baptismal waters that renew us each day, drawing us from death to life. Hope is ours because of a meal that fills us with the very life of Jesus, making us his body for the sake of the world. Hope is ours, and in that hope, we proclaim and embody God's love for all. Jesus' words today are about hope and promise. They are assurance that God is yesterday, today, and tomorrow, beginning and the end. So perhaps the first step in our response to our exhaustion, our response to our uncertainty, the uncertainty of the election, the uncertainty of our economy, the uncertainty of whatever type of rubble is going on in your own particular daily life. The best that we can start with is the Psalms, is singing those words of thanksgiving and praise and joy, so that we remind ourselves and we remind each other together and we remind our world that God is here, and that God is at work both in us and through us for the health of humanity, for creation, for this world that this God loves so very much and loves each and every one of you who are in it and a part of it. And so let us keep remembering and sing together the fourth verse of Joy to the World. Hymn 267 may not be as familiar to do the fourth verse. Starts, He rules the world.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness. And wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Amen. Thank you for singing. We will continue with sacred space.